And then we started depositing on top of those tilted rocks. But as with the rule of original horizontality, those rocks, as they start redepositing, they're all going to be flat lying again. So you're missing time at the bottom of the first horizontal layer. And that time represents however long it took to tilt the original rocks on the bottom of the pile and to kind of bevel that surface off and make it relatively flat before we started deposition again. And that can range from hundreds of thousands of years to millions of years to billions of years. Another type of unconformity is called a disconformity. These can be really hard to find. These are basically missing time between two sets of sedimentary rocks. And I bet you can already see the problem here. If you have a sandstone and another sandstone on top of it, and those two sandstones look the same, let's say they're both quartz sandstones, fine-grained, well-sorted, they look the same. You might not realize that there's any time missing between those two sandstones. So these can be very, very subtle. These usually represent a lull or a pause in deposition in a particular area for some amount of time, and then deposition resuming. So these can be a little tricky to find. A lot of times, though, you can identify them when there's a sudden change in environment. So, for example, a sandstone that was clearly deposited in a river, and sitting smack on top of it is an Aeolian or sand dune sandstone. That's an awfully big jump to go from a river to a sand dune. And so that would be your first clue that there might be some time missing at the bottom of the sand dune sandstone. The third type of unconformity is called a non-conformity. And this is where you have either sedimentary rocks or layered lava flows sitting on top of intrusive igneous or metamorphic rocks. So it sounds kind of complicated, but at its easiest, it's layered rocks sitting on top of crystalline rocks. And so, for example, you would have a magma chamber move up into the bottom of the crust. It cools and crystallizes. The surface above it is eroded down until you expose that granite or whatever igneous rock type it is that cools and crystallizes there. And then you start depositing on top of it. So there's some amount of time missing where you had to strip everything off that was on top of it and then start depositing things again. So always good to keep in the back of the mind that your rock record might not be as complete as you want it to be. Okay, that's how we do relative relationships between different rocks. Let's change gears here and think about how now do we stick an actual number on different rocks? How do we say, that rock right there is 3.6 million years old, and I know that for a fact. How do we get that number? This comes to the idea of radioactivity. Back in the late 1800s was when folks first started to realize that radioactive decay happened. And we, as geologists, are going to take advantage of radioactive decay of certain groups of elements to figure out how old things are. For example, if we were to take a big jar and fill it full of carbon atoms. Some 98.9% of all those carbon atoms are going to be carbon-12. This is an isotope of carbon.